This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's John Stashower.
All right, good morning. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday morning. Sports Map Radio, John Stashower in for the vacationing Tony D. Ron Culver will join me next 3 hours. Lots to talk about. We'll have a guest on to talk some college football. We're going to hear from that committee tonight. And we talked about this yesterday. Oregon was number 3. They're out. Who's going to join them in the top 4? Will it be Cincinnati? That's the big question. So we'll get to some college football storylines later on. We'll talk about the unprecedented suspension of LeBron James. He's not going to play tonight for the Lakers in New York against the Knicks. Did the NBA suspend him? Not so much because of what he did, but for fear of what people would say if they didn't suspend him. Of course you didn't suspend LeBron. You don't want him to miss a game on national TV. So we'll get into that, some other stuff going on in the NBA. But obviously, we also want to talk about the Hall of Fame ballot in baseball, because I thought that's interesting. Very steroid-related. Last chance for Barry Bonds, last chance for Roger Clemens, first chance for Alex Rodriguez, and the first for David Ortiz. Should he be included on that group of steroid users? We'll get into that as well. But obviously, we'll talk about the Monday Night game, which was not a great game. You could kind of see this coming. Tampa Bay had lost its last two. Tom Brady hadn't lost 3 games in a row since 2002. They're unbeaten at home. You know, like the Giants have played some teams tough. They played Tampa Bay tough a year ago. I mean, that was a game that the Giants easily could have won. And the Bucs, of course, went on to win the Super Bowl. But you just had the feeling that, you know, Tampa Bay is just too good to lose 3 games in a row. I don't know whether the best team in the NFC, they're, you know, one of the 5 best, and one of those 5 really good NFC teams going to go to the Super Bowl. We shall see. I think a lot will have to depend on seeding and home field. Bucs certainly playing well at home. That's where they won the Super Bowl. That's where they haven't lost this year. So Brady did his thing. I think you could make the argument that he's got more weapons on this team than he ever had in all those years in New England. If their defense plays well, you know, I think the Bucs certainly have a chance to do something that no team has done since Brady's Patriots in 2003-04. That's when back-to-back Super Bowl. So we will dissect the game from the Tampa Bay standpoint and from the Giants standpoint. Where do things stand with them going forward? Is their general manager going to get fired? What do you think of their coach? What do you think about the decisions they've made in recent years? We'll get into it. So stay with us. 3 hours to go here. Good to have you with us on this Tuesday morning, Sports Map Radio.
This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's John Stashower.
All right, good to have you with us. Tuesday morning, Sports Map Radio. Let's talk a little about Monday Night Football at Tampa Bay. A predictable outcome. The Bucs on their first possession, what a drive. Right down the field. They never had a third down snap. Scored the touchdown. They were up 10-3 on the Giants in the second quarter when Tom Brady, who had a couple of interceptions last week in that loss at Washington, threw a not a good pass. It was right off the shoulder pad of Mike Evans from close range, popped up in the air, a giant interception. They got the ball at the 5-yard line, and they are so bad in the red zone this year, last year. I think last year they were 31st, and this year they're 32nd in the red zone. But they were able to get a touchdown scored by their left tackle, Andrew Thomas, the guy who they took 4th in the draft, who might not be a very good tackle, but actually made the best catch of the night for a Giant. It was terrific from Daniel Jones. So that game was tied at 10, and you had some thoughts for a fleeting moment. You know, we've seen upsets the last couple of weeks. You know, are we going to see one? But the Bucs went right down the field again. They led 17-10 at the half, and then they just dominated the second half. They ended up scoring the last 20 points of the game. They win 30-10. They had 36 minutes of possession time. They had 28 first downs. They had over 400 yards. They had almost a 2-1 margin in total yards. And I said this right in the opening. Has Tom Brady ever had an offense with this much balance? 10 different guys caught passes last night. Mike Evans had 6. Gronk back in the lineup, which is a huge help to the Bucs. He caught 6. Chris Godwin, 6. Fournette out of the backfield for 6. You know, they've got a running game with Fournette and Jones. They've added, you know, they added even Gio Bernard. Ron Culver, do you get the sense that Brady, you know, and thinking back to his days in New England, I mean, they had years where he wasn't surrounded by Hall of Fame talent. You know, I think of the 07 team that was undefeated, lost to the Super Bowl. Obviously, he had a Hall of Famer in Randy Moss. He had Wes Welker. You know, later he had Gronk, you know, in his prime. But I don't know that he ever in New England had this many guys that can help him.
No, I think aside from Randy Moss, he made the names of everybody else. Even I'll give it up, even Gronk. I don't know if you put any of those guys, Gronk, Wes Welker, because when Wes Welker went to the Broncos, he wasn't anything. Mm. But, you know, I mean, yes, those guys were talented, but Brady made them names. We knew about Gronk because of Brady. I don't know if Gronk has the same career without Brady.
Well, that's probably true, you know, and vice versa. Gronk, you know, helped Brady too. But, yeah, there were some unknown guys. You know, there were the David Pattons and the I can't even think of some of the guys that came in and out of
Troy Brown.
Yeah, Troy Brown, kind of an overachieving guy, yeah. But I watch Brady now. First of all, at least last night, the Giants have literally no pass rush. Like they're not even trying. Like we'll just try and cover guys, but we're not going to lay a fingernail on you all night long. So Brady's just sitting there, and like, you know, with God so much more experience than anyone in the history of the league, he knows how to do that and how to pick out an open receiver and to throw to ten different guys. He's got three running backs, he's got three tight ends, he's got four or five wide receivers. Oh, by the way, he didn't even have Antonio Brown. We can get to him and what the issues that's going on with him. He's got a foot injury. He's also, you know, who knows? They're going to investigate whether he lied about his vax card, and he could get suspended for that. But presumably, if that's not the case, he's going to come back and they add a terrific wide receiver. I just think Brady seems to be having a lot of fun.
And that's what it is, right? I mean, you just see, you see the youthfulness in him. And that's why it's not surprising that he's going to be playing as well as he is. I mean, listen, he can't throw like he used to, but him not throwing like he used to is still better than, you know, 80% of the guys that are throwing right now.
How about his run?
Yeah.
Well,
that one kind of hurt, though, watching.
He is. Man, is he slow. He's like, yeah. I mean, he needs a cane out there. And he was always slow. Have you ever watched the tape of him at the combine, you know, when he was 21 years old? He's just really, really slow.
And listen, some quarterbacks are like that. I mean, I remember Phillip Rivers. Phillip Rivers never could run. I mean, I would be surprised if he had 100 rushing yards total in his career. Yeah.
Oh, Brady's had like 1,000, I think, years. With all the quarterback sneaks he's had, he just keep adding 1 yard, 2 yards, you know. But, yeah, that was funny.
But, I mean, it's, you know, you look at it, it's like there are some quarterbacks that just can't run.
No.
Yeah, and you can see it. And it's like, you know, that's fine. That's not your thing anyways.
But, you know, watching the Giants as a Giant fan, the whole Eli Manning narrative was, the Giants have to move on from Eli because he's a relic. He's a pocket passer, and the NFL has changed, and you need quarterbacks who can move around. And there's certainly some truth to that when we see, you know, Mahomes and Lamar Jackson and Kyler Murray and these guys who can do that. That doesn't mean you can't still win with an old dinosaur.
Let me ask you this, Giant fan. How are you feeling about your team? How are you feeling about your team's future?
Well,
Daniel Jones.
That's the other storyline to this game. I mean, Tampa Bay moving on, and we'll talk more about, you know, where things stand in the NFC. As for the Giants, you know, it's just more and more every year. They had a stat last night. They put up their 3-6 start is their best start since 2016. What does that say? 3-6. And the owner, John Mara, is clearly getting, he said this before the season started, I'm tired of losing. So, look, they're 3-7. They do have some winnable games, although some of these teams in their division, Philadelphia's playing better. They got two games left with them. Washington is better right now. Dallas is certainly better. So I would think there's going to be some changes. Their general manager is Dave Gettleman. He's 71 years old. I didn't like the hire, you know, he had worked for the Giants before. Okay, they knew him, but, you know, I would have rather seen them go in the direction of someone, you know, younger and getting his first chance rather than kind of a retread. So I think Gettleman will not be back. Do they, you know, keep it in-house. They like to, you know, hire guys that they're familiar with. I think that's a mistake. You know, I kind of like Joe Judge. I like his attitude. You know, I think he can be a good coach. He probably will become better. But you always wonder, if a new GM comes in, does that mean a new coach comes in? So there could be some shakeup in New York, certainly with a GM, maybe with a coach as well. You look at the decisions, the big decisions that Gettleman has made. The Daniel Jones decision, in some ways you give him credit, because remember that draft? People thought Haskins was the best quarterback in that draft.
Yep.
Well, Dwayne Haskins, look at him. I mean, he's, what is he, like fourth string now in Pittsburgh? And then, and they said the other, with him, Roethlisberger was injured, and so he was going to have a chance, or, you know, he had COVID, and he was going to have a chance to play, and he had, like, you know, just a terrible attitude about it. I mean, he's a mess. So give Gettleman credit for there. I mean, what do you think of Jones when you see him?
I think honestly, the way I'm looking at it is this way, is that, you know, when the Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen,
yeah,
right, and then Cliff Kingsbury came in the following year and made no qualms about it. It's like, well, I'll keep him on the roster, but I'm going after Kyler Murray.
Right.
That was the right decision. We all kind of laughed at it at the time. It's like, you have a first round quarterback on your, a top 10 quarterback on your team. What are you doing? And he just said, no, I'm getting my guy. And I think that's what Joe Judge needs to do. I think he needs to go and get his guy. I don't think Daniel Jones is it. Now, Daniel Jones, to me, probably a journeyman backup.
Mm.
I could completely see him holding a clipboard. Might make a great coach someday.
Yeah. Well, look, they don't let him throw the ball. I don't know if it's they don't let him or he chooses not to. I mean, the dink passes, the drop, the check down passes, I'd love to see him air things out a little bit more. He definitely has athletic ability. He can run the ball. He's a smart guy. I just think he's up and down. Last night he certainly wasn't good with two interceptions in the second half. One of them was a terrible pass.
But
so,
honestly,
yeah.
I think they're too afraid to let him throw, because anytime he throws, it's disastrous.
Well, you know, if he's going to be your quarterback, you got to let him do it sometimes and see what happens. But, you know, the Jones decision, you know, still, I mean, incomplete, I'll say. Maybe we don't know yet. Then you had the Saquon Barkley decision, who, you know, look, I loved him as a rookie. So, man, this guy's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But with the injuries, we talked about this yesterday, not only the time missed, but is he the same? Will he ever be the same player he was as a rookie? I think there's a lot of evidence that he won't be.
I think, honestly, he needs to see, like, a sports psychologist or something.
Well, I don't know.
Demons that are chasing him right now, because he just...
He does nothing.
Is it
the offensive line? Are there any holes to run through? Could he run through them if there were holes? I don't know. But they had the second pick of the draft. Now, again, the narrative in New York, oh, they should have taken Sam Darnold. Well, look at Darnold right now. He's not very good either. The thing I think maybe the biggest criticism that I have of Gettleman is his inability to find a guy who can rush the passer. The year they took Jones, they could have taken Josh Allen, not the quarterback, the Jacksonville guy. And just in this past draft, Micah Parsons, he's got 8 sacks for Dallas as a rookie. He was there. And they traded down. And they ended up getting Kadarius Toney. And they have their first round pick, which is going to be a high pick. And they have Chicago's, which is going to be a high pick. So this is a really important draft for the Giants. And we'll see if it's going to be Gettleman making those decisions or someone else. I think there's a decent chance it's going to be someone else. All right, much more on Tampa Bay. Are they the favorite in the NFC? Some other NFL storylines to get to. You know, we had a coach leave a press conference Sunday and then come back, and then we had a quarterback never even show up for the press conference. We'll get to those stories coming up. I'm John Stashower. Stay with us. Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network,
presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's John Stashower.
All right, good to have you with us. Sports Map Radio, John Stashower, Ron Culver. You were just talking about the 2018 NFL Draft, which was really a fascinating draft. You look back on it, Lamar Jackson, last pick of the first round, fifth quarterback taken, and he's an NFL MVP, playing kind of like an MVP again this year. Josh Allen, 7th pick overall, 3rd quarterback taken. He, you know, was an MVP candidate last year. It was at least earlier this season. So those two, you know, terrific picks by Baltimore and Buffalo. We talked about the Giants taking Saquon Barkley. That doesn't look particularly good right now, taking him second overall. But if they didn't take him, they would have taken Sam Darnold, and that certainly didn't work out for the Jets. And Darnold is injured on his second team. He's been a big disappointment. And you mentioned Josh Rosen, who was the 10th pick and has played for like 10 different teams. And I'm surprised he's even in the league still.
Yeah. It was funny. I was at that draft. And no. I remember the buzz going around when people got wind that Baker was going to be the one selected.
Well, that leads me to Baker, yeah.
Yeah.
Who was number one.
But the one thing that I'll never forget from that draft was Josh Rosen standing at the podium going, yeah, there's going to be 9 other teams that are going to.
I remember that.
You know, yeah, I'm just going to beat down. I can't even remember the exact quote. But
how's that look now?
God.
Nine other teams. He's played for 9 other teams. He's gotten a paycheck from 9 other teams.
Well, that. But I think he's played for some of the teams that actually passed him on the draft, and he hasn't done anything.
Look, I mean, these guys, as much as these NFL scouts and general managers, look, they know more than we do. But that doesn't mean that they, you know, bat 1,000 on these things. They whiff a lot of times. People, I mean, if it wasn't Arizona taking Rosen, it would have been someone else.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, people saw him at UCLA, saw a big, strong kid with a big arm. All right.
Saw someone who had, like, the moxie to say, I'm going to put a hot tub in my dorm room.
That's right. But Baker Mayfield went first overall.
Yes,
and
he did.
That was a surprise to a lot of people. I mean, remember, he had the great season, the Heisman, but he didn't start the season at anywhere near, you know, maybe even being a first-round draft pick. So where do things stand now with Baker Mayfield? Look, the Cleveland Browns, you know, they're better than they were. They used to be a laughing stock, and they're, you know, they're like a 500 team now. Not like it. That's what they are. They beat the Lions Sunday. You know, you can't take a bow because you beat the Lions. It was 13-10, and Baker didn't show up for the post-game presser. He did talk yesterday, and he said some interesting things, Ron. He said there are probably those – wait, well, let's get this from the start. He was booed in the game. And he said, those are probably the same fans that won't be quiet while we're on offense and trying to operate. So I don't really care. Well, it's Cleveland. They've got the most passionate, loyal, diehard fans in the world. They've been waiting 100 years for, you know, a championship. And so they make noise. Well, what are you supposed to do when you go to an NFL game? You're not supposed to make noise when you're on offense. What is this, tennis? Well, I didn't understand that comment at all. And then they asked him about not showing up for the presser, and he says, I've never dodged any questions or hid away from that. Just frustrated, removed the emotions and all that from it, just decided it was best to wait. Not one part of that, that's about not being accountable. I'd be the first to tell you I played like crap. I don't owe that to you guys. I owe that to my teammates. Look, I think if you're an NFL starting quarterback, you got to show up for the post-game presser. Now, Brady didn't, you know, he had a really quick one after that loss in Washington, but that's unusual for him. He usually will sit there. He will understand. Most of the great players understand it's part of the job. Baker, you want to do these commercials and everything like that, you got to give the media some time to give the fans some time because they want to hear what you have to say after a game. If that's the worst part of your job, that's a pretty good situation you're in. So hopefully he learned his lesson. What do you think about him going after the fans, though? Because they make noise while they're on offense. I mean, isn't that the idea? Isn't that what you want from your fans?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just do the quiet down thing. That all, you know, where they start flapping their wings.
Where they put the hands up and you're like, hey, just a little bit so we can hear the signals.
Yeah, just, you know, flap your arms like a bird on the field. And that's, you know, that's what that seems to have worked for centuries.
Exactly.
Well, maybe not centuries, but
yes. yeah, that could
but be. I mean, I don't know. It's just there's a lot more. I think there's a lot of pressure on Baker right now with the Browns and the Browns media and, you know, just the people, because this is supposed to be their year and it's not turning out the way they hoped it to be. And so I think there's an added pressure that he's putting on himself.
I think that's true. He said, big picture-wise, everybody wants to act like the world's falling. No, we haven't played our potential, but we know that more than anybody, so we know what's at stake. We know what we can do. Look, they're 6-5. They are a game and a half behind Baltimore.
Well, yeah, I mean, 6-5 in most years would probably mean that you're climbing a huge uphill to get there. 6-5 this year
in the AFC, especially. Yeah.
Well, is that could get you second, right?
Right. So we'll see how that plays out. So Mayfield was a no-show with the press, and then you had Pete Carroll, who's a media darling, right? Always has been. I mean, funny, you know, sits there and talks. Probably talks too much. And he cut short his press conference, did come back and finish up. He just kind of, I think the losing is getting to him. We talked a little about Seattle yesterday. They're 3-7. They've only won one game at home. They're in last place. The Detroit Lions are the only team in the NFC with a worse record than Seattle. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing because they had a really good run there. They won one Super Bowl. They lost another, but they've been a playoff team, a contending team for a long time there with Pete Carroll, with Russell Wilson. And now it's a bad situation in Seattle. We had the Josh Alper on yesterday. I thought he made an interesting comment when I asked him about the situation in Seattle. Paul Allen, of course, was the owner. He passed away. They don't have any owner involvement right now. And maybe they need that. I don't know. But that's going to be a really interesting offseason question. Does Carroll return? Is it time to move on from him and bring someone new in there? And does Russell Wilson return? And the other storyline there is if Russell Wilson really wants out of Seattle, and this is, you can throw in Aaron Rodgers with this too. If these guys want to leave the teams they're at, where are they going to go? The good teams have a quarterback. That's why they're a good team. There are teams that want a quarterback. They're not good teams. So you want to go to Houston? Russell Wilson, really? You want to go to Miami? You want to go to maybe Denver? You know, Washington, I don't know. Maybe they're looking. They're always looking. I don't know. Those are not, you know, contending teams right now for the most part. So that, I don't know how that's going to play out. But everybody seems to think, and look, Russell Wilson wanted out of Seattle after last year when they were good. So you got to believe he's going to want out now.
I got to believe that's Sierra.
It's what?
Sierra, his wife.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's wanting out of Seattle. No, what's tough about Seattle is that This is another team. I mean, we have this. Seattle has this identity. They've had this identity for probably nearly 10 years, ever since Russell Wilson took the helm. Then you had mentioned it. You know, won a Super Bowl, went to a Super Bowl, should have won that one. All they had to do was hand it off to Marshawn Lynch. And so they should have two Super Bowl wins, and Russell Wilson should be undefeated in the Super Bowl. I think what the problem is that they've lost their identity. They lost what made them who they are. They never had – there was never a dynamic offense that led Seattle. It was always their defense. It was one of the toughest defenses ever. Legion of Boom.
Yeah. Nothing lasts forever. Those guys got old. You know, that's what happens.
But you mentioned, they haven't won – they've only won one game at home. They're 3-6 or 3-7 on the season. It's not the fact that they're losing. It's just the way that they're losing. They're not even in these games anymore, and that is what's shocking to us against Seattle. I mean, we watched them play against the Cardinals this past weekend. Should have been more competitive. Hey, if they lost, they lost. Cardinals got a good thing going right now. But you let Colt McCoy look like a Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the problem is. And, the losing, I mean, your star, your faces of the franchise, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, yeah, they're going to want out. Pete Carroll, I mean, would it shock us if he goes, I'm going to go to USC? Kind of missed the whole
Oh, I don't know
racket.
About that.
No,
really?
No, I know. But I'm
that would be, I haven't even heard that scenario going back.
I haven't either. But I could
see Pete Carroll's like pushing 70, right?
But I could see him going back. He had great success there. All the stuff that he did is now legal. So he's fine there. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to hide it anymore.
We'll bring the cars out. Which one do you want? Pick anyone on the lot. Yeah.
We all know the reason why he left SC in the first place was because he knew that suspensions were coming, and he's like, "Oh, I'm out." But now, I mean, everything he did is that's perfectly legal. You know, you want to give your star running back his family a house.
Well,
go ahead.
They can buy it. They can just go out and buy it. You don't have to give it to them. They have the money now to buy it themselves. That would be pretty interesting. I'll say one thing about Russell Wilson. Look, he's not a young man anymore. I'll take him on my team. I mean, look at these guys still playing quarterback at a high level at an old age. I mean, he's not washed up by any means. All right. Want to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot that came out yesterday. Got a lot of steroid guys on. Are they going in? We'll talk about that next. Sports Map Radio.
This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's John Stashower.
All right, so three dates in terms of consideration for the Baseball Hall of Fame. The first one was yesterday when the voters got the ballot. And then the next date is December 31st. You have to get your ballot in by then. And then the next date is January 25th. That's when we learn the results. And then, of course, the next date is, you know, in July, I guess, in Cooperstown, when there's the induction ceremonies. Remember, nobody got voted in last year, which happens sometimes. Nobody got the 75%. It didn't really affect the ceremonies because they didn't have the ceremonies in 2020. So the guys, Derek Jeter and Larry Walker and Ted Simmons, who had gotten in the year before, were able to, you know, there was a nice ceremony. They did it late last year in Cooperstown. 30 names. 13 are new first-timers. Almost all of them are guys who are not going to get in the hall and probably won't get enough votes the first year to stay on the ballot. 17 holdovers. And Curt Schilling should get in. When you get 71% one year, it's almost every time you're going to get the 75% needed the next year. But Schilling is a fascinating situation because, to me, he's absolutely a Hall of Fame pitcher and a guy I really don't like. And look, it's not just that I happen to disagree with almost everything he says with these political opinions of his. It's that, you know, he makes them in situations and goes to places that you just shouldn't go to. You know, you're allowed to have your own opinions on things that are going on in the world. And just because you're a baseball player, a former baseball player, doesn't mean that you shouldn't be allowed to have those opinions. But, you know, I mean, some of them are really, he goes to places that, like, he shared a meme comparing Muslims to Nazis. I mean, you know, that's some pretty harsh stuff. Got fired at ESPN. We made those anti-trans comments. Now, having said all that, to me, that should not affect his Hall of Fame candidacy. Now, I'm a guy, like, I don't think steroids should affect him. We'll get to all the steroid guys. But, Ron, Curt Schilling, I imagine you feel kind of the same way. You don't really like him as a person, but should that be a factor in him going to the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that's, you got to separate the man from the athlete, right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Did he perform well on the field? Yes. You know, was he one of the most dominant pitchers during that time? Yeah. I mean, how many World Series? He won one in 2001 with the Diamondbacks and then followed that up with in 2004 with the Red Sox.
And 2007 with the end of his career. He wasn't as much of a factor. But, yeah, he's had an interesting career. You know,
but, I mean, I believe his sock is in the Hall of Fame, so why not put the rest of the man in there?
That's a good point. He only won 216 games. That's kind of low for a Hall of Famer. I mean, Roger Clemens won 354. But, you know, times have changed with the relievers, even more so now. Guys don't win as many games as they used to.
And the other thing, too, he is one that's never been caught up into the steroid era.
Oh, he was very anti-steroid.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then no one has ever.
Which means he probably took it. So,
I want to get to the steroid stuff, and that's kind of how I feel, is that nobody really knows who did what
right
with steroids. But I can think it's safe to say Schilling probably did not. But, you know, he never won a Cy Young. That's kind of unusual for a Hall of Famer. But here's how Schilling should get in the Hall of Fame. 11-2 in the postseason. His career ERA was 3.46. His ERA in the postseason, 2.23. I mean, that's, you're facing the best teams, and that's when it's all on the line. And the guy was like Bob Gibson, you know, in the postseason. 3,000 strikeouts, won 60%, a win percentage of 60%. So, I think he's a Hall of Famer, got 71%. And, you know, he's a buffoon sometimes because his trajectory is not unlike a lot of guys, didn't get a lot of support early on. And, you know, to blame it on the controversies and on the things that he has said is not really even the case, because He got 38%. He got only 38% before he said a lot of these stupid things that he has said. So his percentage has been going up despite all the controversies. And yet he didn't get in last time. He came really close. And he came out and said, he called the writers spineless cowards. And he says, now, if I get in, I don't even want to go in, which is just so silly. And so he's probably going to get in. And he'll change his tune. If he's smart, he'll change his tune and say, okay, and he'll be honored to go to.
Maybe he'll do the Marlon Brando acceptance speech and send someone else.
Or Terrell Owens, who wouldn't go to Canton. House. Yeah, did it from wherever he was. Yeah. We'll see. But I think Schilling will make it, and I think he deserves to make it. The bloody sock game.
I also think the only other one I think is almost a surefire bet, I think Ortiz gets in on the first try.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, he's, you know, that's the thing about these steroid guys. You know, you look at the stats and how good a player he was, and all right, and Schilling, yeah, 11-2 in the postseason. Ortiz, sure. You know, maybe the greatest clutch hitter we've ever seen. Forget about being a DH. I don't think that factors in anymore. Edgar Martinez got in. Precedent has been made. So yep. I agree. Now, then it's like, okay, now let me check my list, my official list of guys who took steroids. You know, there is no official list. We don't know what happened with David Ortiz. In 2003, all major leaguers had to get tested. And it wasn't so that, hey, let's find out, you know, who tested positive and let's suspend them. No, it was so just to see what's the percentage. How many of these major leaguers are doing this? That's all it was. And it was supposed to be an anonymous test where you never learned the results, where nobody out there was going to find out the results. And somebody leaked it to, I think, Sports Illustrated. I can't remember, Sports Illustrated, New York Times, one of those two. And then we found out that Ortiz was on a list of guys who had tested positive. Rob Manfred, who was not the commissioner then, but was very involved in that process, has said it's very possible that that was false, that that was false information that Ortiz tested positive. And then they started testing for real, where if you tested positive, you get suspended. And he never failed a test. So I cannot understand why you would keep David Ortiz out because of fringe inclusion on the steroid list.
And it's not only that, and this does play in a factor, and it shouldn't, but he was a media darling. He loved talking to the media. The media loved talking to him. And that always plays in a factor here because, you know, if you were a great player, but you didn't like the media or the media didn't like you, or, you know, that, for whatever reason, does play a factor into whether or not how they perceive you, because it's the writers who vote. No, it's not the players. It's not anybody else. I mean, a lot of these steroid guys, they might get in, you know, with the senior voting or whatever it's called, like 25 years from now.
Right. Look, Jim Rice was another Red Sox slugger who was not well-liked by the media in Boston, and he finally got in, but it took him a long time. Ortiz was, beloved. I mean, beloved by fans, beloved by the media. I think he's going to be a first ballot
Hall of Famer. I think with this voting, I mean, you have the Schilling who just narrowly missed out. You have Ortiz who's coming in. People are probably going to look at A-Rod as well, and I don't know if he gets in on the first ballot just because.
Well, I don't think he gets in at all.
You don't think he gets in at all?
Well,
but
I think the
point I was making, all eyes, I think, for this voting are going to be on Bonds and Clemens.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, and you, Bonds and Clemens, this is their last year. And the last year they got 62%. I don't think they're going from 62 to 75. And so, look, I would put Bonds, who was like the best hitter I've ever seen in the Hall of Fame. I would put Clemens, who might have been the best pitcher, one of the three or four best pitchers I've ever seen in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, they used steroids. So did a lot of other people. Bonds was facing pitchers who were using steroids. Clemens was facing hitters who were using steroids. You know, it wasn't some magic potion that made them the players they were. I don't know who was doing what. I would put those guys in the Hall of Fame. But I don't think they're going to get in. And if they're not getting it in, Ron, how do they Alex Rodriguez get in?
No, exactly. That's why I'm saying, if A-Rod doesn't make it on this one, that's why I'm saying all eyes are going to be on Bonds and Clemens, because they're the ones that, once you break the mold, if for whatever reason, if if either one of them gets in, maybe only one of them gets in.
Well, that would make no sense.
No, I know, but I'm saying, you know, maybe they're looking at Clemens and go, ah, well, you know, pitcher, okay, fine, whatever. You know, he has these numbers, or, you know, if they go Bonds. And you just, it really, I think it just takes one to break the mold. And I think all these guys should get in because at the time, let's face it, they weren't doing anything illegal.
Well, here's the situation with A-Rod. He's not, he's a two-time offender.
Yeah.
So he goes to Texas. And this is 2001, 2, and 3, when there were no rules against it. He was not doing anything against the rules. And he, you know, then that one was leaked. Again, I can't remember. That one, I think the Ortiz was the New York Times. This one was Sports Illustrated. That he had tested positive. And he did the whole mea culpa. He said, oh, this was, I'll never forget that presser. Yeah, this was the loosey-goosey time in Texas. And we had Jose Canseco, who was, you know, the poster boy for steroids. We had, you know, Rafael Palmeiro, and I think everybody said, okay, we get it. You know, you didn't break the rule. But then he did it again. That's the thing. And he got suspended for a year. I mean, he should not get in the Hall of Fame because of stupidity. Like, you got through this your steroid thing, and all you had to do, look, you were already a first ballot Hall of Famer now. And then he went and he got, you know, he was going to a strip mall in Florida to get those, to get his roids, and he had to get hit with a 1 year suspension. And look, this guy was 696 home runs. But again, Bonds has even more than that. And it's a crazy situation. You got a Hall of Fame where the guy with the most hits isn't in. I think that's wrong too.
Yep.
And then the most home runs, and what's A-Rod, the fourth all-time in home runs, yeah. He's not going to be in.
You got Clemens, who...
Clemens, one of the best pitchers ever, not in.
Top five in wins, top five in strikeouts, not
so
in.
So it's a crazy situation. I would put them in if you even wanted to say something on their plaque that alludes to their to the controversy.
Or, like what I've been calling for forever, it's just like, just build a wing.
You know, steroid wing.
Just another wing, and just say, you know, hey, you know, maybe put it behind like the yellow.
Put some syringes, some needles.
You know, the beaded curtain that you would go into, you know, that you saw in your favorite video store, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh God.
That, you know, you have to
you
be
have to only
this,
adults. Sorry.
Yeah, you have to be at this age allowed, to understand what's going on in this wing.
Yeah.
It seems silly.
Because, well, I mean, you know, it's a good point. It is just a museum. I was there last summer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all it is. You know, Gary Sheffield, you know, how do you handle him? 500 home runs?
That
was a great slugger. But he, you know, he was mixed up with Bonds and that Belco thing and taking the cream. And he said later he didn't even know what he was taking. Now, do we believe him or not? I don't know. He said his worst season ever. Had a long career. Sheffield, I think, played 21 years. He said his worst season ever was the year that he used the cream. So, but that's been keeping him out probably all this time. You know, Omar Vizquel, now that's a whole other situation. You know, you can make the argument, if Ozzie Smith's in, why isn't Omar Vizquel in? Sensational defensive player, right? Not a big-time hitter, but one of the all-time great defensive shortstops. He got up to 53%, so he was on a trajectory maybe to get in. Now, he's been investigated for domestic violence. He got, I think there was a lawsuit for sexual harassment. You know, it's whole, how do you handle these off-the-field situations? Football Hall of Fame doesn't seem to care much about anything that you do off the field.
No.
And I think that's probably the way baseball should go also.
They should, but, I mean, baseball, you know, holds themselves to a higher standard. It's the only sport that is really driven by numbers anyways.
Yeah, well,
you know, I feel like it's only been like the last 10 years that we really started to pay attention to football numbers as far as, like, you know, most passing yards, most passing touchdowns. I don't remember, you know, ever really needing to know that, like with
Nobody
Joe Montana.
Or Nobody even knew.
Dan Marino.
Who held the records, yeah.
Yeah, you just knew. Did the guy play effectively? Yeah.
But you knew the baseball records.
You
knew Hank
baseball.
Aaron. You knew,
yep.
All that stuff.
You knew what the magic number was per season.
My guess is Schilling and Ortiz, who, of course, were teammates in Boston, will be the Hall of Fame class when we find out on January 25th. And Bonds and Clemens will not. And as you say, they could get another chance down the road with the whatever they call it now, senior veterans, old-timers, whatever committee. A-Rod, you can lump him in the same class with Bonds and Clemens. All right, we'll take a time out. Stay with us, Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's John Stashower.
So, you know, I think I usually try and keep up on stories, but I saw this story yesterday. I was like, whoa, I missed this one. I missed the announcement that the USFL was coming back. Remember the XFL?
Oh, did you? They made that last week.
Well, no, they just announced the
teams.
Just last week?
They announced the teams yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, they're using the same names as, look, I remember the, I know you got mad yesterday because I said you don't remember Howard Cosell. I didn't mean it that way. But do you remember the USFL?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I had a big old poster of them.
What?
The
LA
teams.
Express?
Yes. Oh, no. All the teams. It was one of those where you could, like, maneuver things around and be like, ah, you know, here they go.
So we got the New Jersey Generals, the Tampa Bay Bandits, the Houston Gamblers. This is interesting. There are eight teams, but they're not playing in the cities. They're playing. It's like a bubble, like we had in the NBA last year. And the Rock, I guess, is involved with
the Rock. I don't.
No,
Rock,
is that a different league? I can't keep track. All right.
That's the crazy thing, because the Rock is supposed to be bringing back the XFL. I think 2023.
That would make sense. He's got the XFL. They're going to play in the spring. The big controversy with the first round of USFL was that they were going to play in the spring and the summer, and then they had this one owner who demanded that they move to the fall. I can't remember the owner's name.
You can't? Is it on the tip of your tongue?
I think he moved on to another job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Doesn't have that job anymore. Who knows? May have that job down the road.
He lives in Florida now. I know
exactly that. Exactly right. So the USFL, welcome back. That was a big story back in the 1980s. All right. More NFL talk. Bucks win. That's next.